You know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. It's just an awful feeling.
Let's talk a minute or two about fake stuff. How about that, Maestro? Are you up to talking about fake stuff
fake
for a minute?
Stuff?
Fake
well,
stuff.
Things usually that are not, but go ahead.
Okay, well, just give me an example of something you have seen that when you saw it, you said immediately to yourself, that's fake.
That commercial for Shark Week where the shark jumps up and gets the little baby seal that they were returning to the ocean. I don't know if you've ever seen that.
I have not seen that. It's quite a disturbing visual that I have in my mind now. Thank you very much for that.
You're welcome.
In a very upbeat mood until I thought about death and destruction here just now. Thanks for that. Well, I can't say that mine is quite that death-oriented or destruction-oriented. My answer to that question, and by the way, that's a very good thinking on your feet type of thing, because I did not give you time to think about that ahead of schedule. Mine was this. Any actress or actor of your choice that just came out of a Botox treatment, that is a fake. Right there. Fake face.
Or old boxing movies, you know, where there is from Hollywood.
That's true.
And they're trying to put for, and you see them and they're fighting and you know,
yeah,
this is fake. That's not a real fight.
Now, here's something you may or may not be aware of. The last Rocky movie that came out, Stallone said, I actually want a real fight. So that was a real boxing match. They did not pull punches. They really did hit each other. And I think he actually enjoyed it, which is quite scary, by the way. But this, you know, this show is not about Rocky. Thank the Lord. This show is not about fakes. Well, it is going to be a little bit about fake stuff. But let's tell you what this show is really about. This is Career Callings with Robbie Romeiser. And our purpose here at Career Callings is to help you avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping you find, prepare for, and pursue the work God created you to do. Certainly we'd love you to call in or send an email with some questions or comments for us to address on the show. The phone number that you can either call and or text message is 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649. Or you can reach me by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E. @careercallings.net. Now, we actually are going to get into something job-related in just a minute with regard to this idea of fakeness. But just to kind of, you know, lighten things up a little bit, I want to talk to you for just a minute about this article that I ran across called The 10 Worst Fake Foods You Should Stop Eating. Now, this is a monumental story, or I guess I should say it's quite an impressive story. So since it's impressive, whether you consider it monumental or not, I thought it would be apropos to introduce it with the, yes, you hear it there, one of the most monumental theme songs in the history of American culture. There are a few things on the planet that stir one's emotions as much as the theme song to 2001, A Space Odyssey. Top 10 Worst Fake Foods You Should Stop Eating. The first one in the list, by the way, this was on a program or a post, I guess you call it, called the Daily Health Post. I don't even know how I found it. There's some website called Daily Health Post, and I was just doing some searches and ran across this thing. The first one on the list is Cheese Whiz Dip. 10 Worst Fake Foods You Should Stop Eating. Cheese Whiz Dip was at the top of the list. Processed cheese, this article says. This spreadable gook That just makes you want to go buy it. This spreadable gook contains a third of your daily fat and sodium, all in two little tablespoons.
Whoa.
Also known as heart disease in a jar. Very good. Cheese whiz dip. Don't eat that. Number two, easy cheese spray. I'm starting to see a cheese theme here. As long as they don't touch my grilled cheese sandwiches, I'm okay. Easy cheese spray. Speaking of cheese, there are cheese cultures in that can, but the... There are cheese cultures in that can, meaning it's growing things you probably don't want to eat, of which there is a bunch, but none of them came out of a cow. How did they get her to lactate into that little metal can? That's pretty awful. Crab sticks. Number three, crab sticks. Now, if you saw the picture I'm looking at in this article, you would never eat crab sticks. I didn't even know there was such a thing. And you know what? Rather than reading this part of it, let's just say if you eat it, you're going to die. All right, let's just move on. Tang fruit drink. Good enough for the astronauts, but unless you're taking a trip to the moon anytime soon, opt for organic, real, unsweetened fruit juice instead. There's plenty of sugar along with less than 2% orange juice solids that you find in the Tang. So better to go all natural on that one. Peanut butter and jelly Uncrustables. Now, I have never heard of an Uncrustable. Have you, Maestro?
I think I have. I think kids like them because they don't have the crust on
them. I gotcha. That's what it is. This is some sort of frozen thing. I've never done that Uncrustable thing before, but apparently they've got, let's just say it's unnatural to have a frozen peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Even if you heat it up, just something wrong with that. I'm not even going to talk about that one at length because I think it's self-explanatory. If it's not a real peanut butter and jelly sandwich, you have no business eating it. All right, number six. Now, this one I got to be careful about. You know, you've heard of tofu, right?
Yes.
All right, this is called tofurkey. So that's tofu plus turkey. Italian vegan sausage. Now, that is a contradiction in terms if I've ever heard of one. Sausage and vegan at the same time. There's something wrong with that because sausage, well, if you don't know what's in sausage, you're better off not knowing what's in sausage. Just imagine tofu and other stuff mashed together to try to act like it's meat when it's not even meat. So that's, you know, fake. Number seven, white bread. Now, this one shocked me. I love white bread. It's not really good for you, but I love it. To make it white, all the nutrients are removed. The flour is bleached. Then synthetic vitamins are added back in. Whole grains have fiber and complex carbohydrates that your body needs, but with the wheat germ and bran taken out, this grain becomes a simple carbohydrate, i.e. sugar. Interesting. That must be why I like it so much. Fruit Gushers fruit snack. Now, this one I've got to read in its entirety. An excerpt from the ingredients list. For a mood, Morpher's fruit punch. Flavor, sugar. Dried corn syrup, which is also sugar. Corn syrup, which is also sugar. Fructose, which is also sugar. Maltodextrin, which is also sugar. Oh, yeah. There's also sugar in Fruit Gushers. Next to last, chicken nuggets. This one is painful. The white meat of the chicken is the most expensive, so many manufacturers of this frozen delicacy have opted for a mixture of chicken parts packed together in clumps, then battered and fried, which just goes to show you can fry anything and it'll be good. Number 10, last but not least, pancake syrup. There is no maple in this syrup. Doesn't even taste like it. Just has high fructose, which means high sugar, corn syrup, water, and caramel coloring. There is no natural, there is no nutritional value in contrast to real maple syrup, which actually is very good for you. So fake pancake syrup tops off the list of 10 really fake stuff you should get out of your diet. So with that monumental story, we will close this chapter of fake foods you should never eat. Bring it, baby. Yeah. I could listen to that for the entire 30-minute Career Callings radio show. I really could. Don't know that we would have anybody else listening, but for me, that does it for me. So why did I spend so much time on fake foods? Well, I ran across an article the other day about fake jobs in Europe, and I wanted to share it with you. And just kind of broached the subject with you. It made sense, but I must tell you, it kind of struck me oddly when I first read it. Let me just say it this way: I don't care how hard you try, we cannot escape the way God designed us, and we were designed by God to work. And when we don't work, we will feel unfulfilled. I mean, that's just the way we are made. And an example of this was in Business Insider. Businessinsider.com had an article that they actually excerpted from the New York Times called "Europeans Are So Sick of Being Unemployed That They're Working Fake Jobs at Fake Companies." And here's a quick excerpt from that article. And I quote, "While Europe battles long-term unemployment, some people have grown so restless that they've started working fake jobs at fake companies all around the continent. The New York Times' Liz Alderman reports that thousands of fake companies across Europe hire fake employees to sell fake products to fake customers. Products like perfume, porcelain, and exotic pets." I guess, would chia pets be part of exotic pets?
I'm sure that would.
It's exotic to me. But going back to the article, they make the work environment as realistic as possible. Some of the fake companies have even fallen into fake bankruptcy. And the fake staff went on to set up new fake companies, taking out fake loans from fake banks. Other fake companies have even held fake strikes. The company started out training programs to help students at the outset of their careers or people between jobs gain workplace skills. But now, for some people, they're just a reason to get out of bed in the morning. And they talked to a lady named Sabine DeBeiser. And I'm going to call her just Mrs. DeB, because I can't pronounce that very well. She's a French woman at a fake furniture company in Lille. She lost her job about 2 years ago as a secretary and, unable to find steady work, was just sleeping in every day and feeling miserable. So she took a job at a fake company, and now she wakes up every weekday, puts on makeup, and gets ready to go to the office. And by 9 a.m., she arrives at the office in a low-income neighborhood called Lille, where joblessness is among the highest in the country. She's 41 years old, and she welcomes the regular routine, saying, since I've been coming here, I've had a lot more confidence, she told the Times. I just want to work. And that's the point I want to get across, and I'll pick up with in just a little bit when we get on the other side of the break, because I don't have enough time to get deeper into this article until we get on the top break. Oh, by the way, just thought we'd shake up the music a little bit today. So for the next moment or two, I hope you enjoy the Bee Gees.
Atheists are convinced they have logic firmly on their side, and their brand of logic informs them that there is no God. But on the next edition of Breakpoint This Week with John Stonestreet, Frank Turek, author of the new book Stealing from God, explains why these authors have to pilfer logic itself from God to argue against him. A great lesson in apologetics comes your way next time on Breakpoint This Week.
Sunday afternoon at 1:30 on Christian Talk 660 and 92.9.
I heard a famous author say once that no matter how fantastic your book is, it will never be a best-selling book until you promote. The same is true with whatever you're trying to sell, whether it's a product for work, a fundraiser for your school, or a nonprofit's message to the world. Great signage is the foundation of any marketing effort, and no one is better at providing you with great signage than my friends at Signforce. Joey Harrison and his staff are a one-stop shop for all of your marketing needs. Handcrafted signs, vehicle wraps, screen printing, embroidering, business cards, and brochures, there's nothing the folks at Signforce can't do. I've personally used Signforce for signage for my business and for our church, and Signforce has beautifully wrapped two buses for our Christian school. If you need to promote anything, Signforce will deliver a great product at a great price and with great speed. Give Joey and his folks a call at 864-582-3600 or check out their website at signforcesc.com. That's 864-582-3600, signforcesc.com.
Have you fallen behind on your mortgage payments? NFCC member agencies provide free and affordable help and meet U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development standards. Call 866-687-6322 or visit mortgagehelpnow.org.
Career mismatches cause people financial and emotional pain as they struggle to pay their bills and also to find meaning in their lives. The late Larry Burkett recognized this, and for nearly 30 years, Crown Ministries has helped hundreds of thousands of people around the world find, prepare for, and pursue the purpose-filled work God has called them to do. To learn more about how you or someone you love can use biblical wisdom to avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision, visit careercallings.net/discover, careercallings.net/discover.
Christian Talk 660.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of, perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Supposed to be doing? Are you? Robbie Romeiser with Career Callings. Welcome back from the break. Feel free to join us today at 864-381-7649 or Robbie at careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net, 864-381-7649. Before the break, we were talking about fake stuff, and we were starting with an article about some folks in Europe who are trying to keep busy, unemployment being such an issue there, as it is here, really, long-term unemployment, that these folks were so miserable at home every day, they decided to take on fake jobs just to stay busy and get back into a routine. We were talking about Miss DeBizer, who I will call Miss DeB, to be easier on me, DeB, and she had taken a job with a company so that she could get up and get into a regular routine, and just picking up with her story. Her story demonstrates that we all have an innate urge to be productive, because the quote we said mentioned from her right before the break ended, right before we got to the break, was this. She just wanted to work. She was miserable, and she has a lot more confidence just getting up each and every day, going to the fake job just to have some routine, and also getting ready for whichever job will come her way down the road in the future. And so we have an innate urge to be productive, and her story proves that. And you know, that urge does not come from evolution or culture or any desire to make money. It comes from our Creator. I mean, God gave us this desire to work from day one. I mean, if you read the Bible, the book of Genesis, Father Adam, from the moment of his creation, long before there was culture, long before there was money, long before anything else, there was work. And God gave Adam that work and instructed him, and that gave him that urge to work in the garden of Eden. And today our purpose is the same as Adam's: do God's work, God's way, and in God's timing. When our souls are uneasy, I mean, when we're miserable, when we're bitter, when we're stressed, it's not always, but often due to our failure to pursue God's work, God's way, and in God's timing. So what about all those folks that love laziness? And there are plenty of them, all right? I get that. But as the Bible teaches, there is pleasure in sin for a season. Eventually, though, sin destroys. And slothfulness, the Bible is clear, is a sin. And both emotionally and physically, sin will destroy. So there might be some pleasure in that for a time, but eventually it's going to tear someone down. And living life in contrast to God's design for work does the same thing. And here's another article from Europe. This is from the British Broadcasting Corporation, BBC. They reported an article about a year or so ago. They cited a study that was published in May of 2013, and I'll just quote from the article here. May 2013 report, published by the London-based Institute of Economic Affairs, found that retirement increased the chances of suffering from depression by 40%, while it increased the probability of having at least one diagnosed physical ailment by about 60%. That impact was assessed after controlling for the usual age-related conditions. In the first year of retirement, health actually improved. For example, it's nice to get some rest from work, one person said. But 2 to 3 years later, retirees started suffering severe mental and physical conditions. They began to deteriorate. And this was not the case just in Britain. Through retirement, though retirement agents, rather, made different ages may differ from country to country, studies in China and India and Norway and other places have shown the same pattern. Maybe initially, first year or two, all that rest works for you. But if you don't get engaged, if you don't get engaged in some type of work, whether it be volunteer work or for money work, it doesn't matter. If you're not engaged in some type of work for God, it eventually will destroy you both mentally and physically. So is Robbie Romeiser saying that retirement is bad? Well, no. Am I saying that leisure time is evil? No. But what I am saying is that failing to work at any age is a recipe for disaster, because God created us to work, not to be lazy pukes, if I can say it that way, and just sit around. So the need to work is ingrained in us. God, our Creator, gave it to us. And doesn't it follow then that that diligently pursuing the work God has given us is paramount to inner peace, to contentment, to our sense of purpose? And undeniably, the answer is yes. So if I may say so, whatever work God is showing you need to be getting involved in, it's time to get to work on that issue and quit putting it off. Now, with that as our launching pad, I want to switch gears on you a little bit and talk a little bit about entrepreneurship. I've talked about entrepreneurship before. I'll talk about it again. Certainly in today's landscape, work-wise in the United States of America, there are still approximately 93 million people that are unemployed. And if you think about the adult population only being around 270 million people, 93 million out of work is a pretty hefty percentage. And for a lot of people, that's not going to change if you always are looking for the traditional job at a corporation. Not to say that you can't get that. Certainly, there's plenty of opportunity. Don't get me wrong. But for a lot of people, the right choice, as they pray about it, as they study God's Word about it, as they look at the landscape and their opportunities, entrepreneurship might be the thing that God shows them He wants them to give them a shot at. So I ran across this article. It was very intriguing, called How Bold Entrepreneurs Are Breaking $1 Million in One-Person Businesses. And this was published in Forbes just not too long ago, written by a lady named Elaine Pofelt. And she is a former senior editor for Fortune Small Business Magazine, currently writes on entrepreneurship for a variety of publications like Forbes, Fortune, CNBC, New York Business, so on and so forth. Gist of the article basically is this. It's a growing trend of ultra-lean businesses that are hitting and exceeding $1 million smackaroos a year in revenue at a stage when they have zero employees. The only employee, if I can say it this way, is the owner of the company. They don't have anybody else involved. Or in some cases, maybe they only have one or two employees, but they're able to knock out serious revenue without having a huge staff. And that's a growing trend. For example, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, I'm sorry, not the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the Census Bureau, that's the right source, releases statistics on this almost on a yearly basis. And not too long ago, they released some statistics that showed that in the year 2013, there were over 30,000 what they classify as non-employer businesses, meaning no employees other than the owner, that brought in more than $1 million. Well, actually, between $1 million and $2.5 million. There's even more companies bringing in even higher dollar figures that are just one-person businesses. So one-person business bringing in $1 million to $2.5 million in 2013, over 30,000 such businesses. And that's a startling figure, and that's growing every year. So in her article, Ms. Pofelt was trying to chronicle the stories of several entrepreneurs that had done this to kind of give some people like me, like you, some insight into how these folks pulled this off. And I noticed as I read through these stories some commonalities, two big commonalities between these entrepreneurial stories. And I wanted to break those down for you for a few minutes and just tell you what I learned from this this article. The two commonalities were this. Number one, leveraging the power of technology. Number two, using independent contractor labor rather than employee labor. Now, to kind of tell you what I'm talking about, let's focus on the leveraging of technology first. First guy I want to talk about, a fellow named Alan Walton, who's now age 27. He founded a company called SpyGuySecurity.com. It's a web-based company that sells security camera equipment. based in Dallas, Texas. Now, in the article, Allen self-proclaims himself as a high school failure with a 2.9 GPA, and he got a security camera job, not in his own efforts, or not on his own efforts. His mom walked into a store, saw a help wanted ad, grabbed an application, took it home, and made him fill it out. And he did get the job for $11 an hour working at a brick-and-mortar store, but he got kind of tired there pretty quickly and decided he was going to leave there and open up an online store on the internet, spyguysecurity.com, and now, in last year, he made over $1 million in revenue all by himself, all by himself. Dan Metzeriski, age 29, I'm not sure I pronounced his name right, is founder and president of a company called Fitness on the Go. And he has leveraged technology, not so much on the internet, although I'm sure he has a website, but he has a huge staff right now. I shouldn't say staff, a set of franchisee personal trainers. Fitness on the Go is a personal training outfit. 126 personal trainers in Canada, earning more than $4 million last year system-wide. And he's the only employee at the corporate office doing all this, and he's invested over the years over $250,000 in computer programs that enable him to provide support to all his franchisees without having to hire a bunch of extra people to do it. Rachel Charlupsky, founder of the babysitting company in New York City, manages over 1,500 babysitters. And in 2005, she began the business. Last year, she grossed over $1 million. How's she doing it? Well, many different ways, but one of the tools she uses to make that happen, texting her folks with a mobile phone, just leveraging technology to making things easy in the business. Now, another trend was these folks are leveraging people without hiring people. What does that mean? They're connecting with contract laborers. And just to kind of point this out, for example, Dan Metzeriski, I think, again, I still can't pronounce his name, Fitness on the Go, when he first opened that business, he did hire employee personal trainers and found out pretty quickly that wasn't working out so well. A couple things. Number one, people just kind of showed up for a paycheck and didn't give their best. Number two, what he ended up having happen a lot of times is these personal trainers were cutting side deals with the clients and cutting him out. And then number three, he was incorporating or experiencing a lot of unprofessionalism. For example, one of his trainers on staff asked one of the clients, "Hey, can I use your washroom real quick?" And she went in and took a shower and went out to a date that night. You know, so that was pretty inappropriate use of a client's restroom. Well, he almost closed the business down and then decided, you know what, I'm going to open this up as a franchise model. And now he's got this 120-plus franchisee personal trainers who are earning more than twice what his employees used to earn. And these folks are operating their own businesses. And so as business owners themselves and their goals, their procedures, their desire to provide good client service are just like Dan's. And so by leveraging the business through contract labor, life was greater for everybody. The business grew without all the employee hassle, and the whole service and everything else got a whole lot better. All right, if you liked anything you heard on today's program, feel free to join us at careercallings.net/radio, careercallings.net/radio for your free copy of today's podcast and links to the articles referenced here today. If you don't know what value God created you to bring to the world, it's time to figure it out. God bless.